Now, each week we talk about health around about this time, and that is for one of our sponsors, the Sydney Adventist Hospital, the SAN, who do fantastic work in health. We always talk about the latest advancements in health as well and talk to one of their great professionals. And tonight, another of these topics that really relates to everyone, because you're either affected by this or you'll know someone who has been, and this is bowel cancer. It's one of these cancers as well and conditions we don't talk about enough. The third most common type of newly diagnosed cancer in Australia, but over the years it has been very clear that the earlier you detect it, the better your chances. I'm sure that's going to be confirmed by my guest, Dr. Penelope Della Cavallari, who's a colorectal and general surgeon at the SAN, and she's also a spokesperson for the Bowel Cancer Australia organization. Doctor, good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Let's just start off, because am I right that there's a lot of people affected, but if you haven't been affected, you probably know someone who has?
Certainly. It is the second deadliest cancer in Australia, and about 15,000 people are diagnosed each year. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. Yeah, you break that down into numbers per day. That's huge, isn't it?
It is huge. You know, but it's the good news is that 99% of bowel cancer diagnosis can be treatable completely and cured if they're caught early.
I want to get to that in a moment, because I think that's become really quite clear now that the sooner you can pick it up, the better. Just in terms of the major risk factors, what are we talking about there?
Well, it's important to divide them really in things that we can change and things that cannot change, because, you know, some aspects of the risks, we cannot do anything about it, and we just need to know about it and be aware of them. So we tend to divide them in modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors. And, you know, those that are modifiable are those that have to do with our lifestyle, including if you smoke, stopping smoking will decrease your risk of developing a bowel cancer. If you eat an excessive amount of red meat or processed meat, you should decrease it. If you drink alcohol, you should also decrease it. And if you're overweight or obese, then as well, you know, losing the weight, it will protect you from having bowel cancer. You know, some of the recommendations that are on the, on the literature include decreasing the amount of alcohol, for example, to 2 drinks a day, not more than that. Eating processed meats and preserved meats, we shouldn't really be having more than 500 grams per week. That's really only 3 times a week, basically, having red meat. And that includes also, you know, ham and turkey and that type of, you know, meats that we all, you know, love to have in sandwiches.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they? Yeah.
That's exactly right. Smoking, there's no doubt. We need to stop smoking. It's not good for anything. It's not good for bowel cancer. It's not good for your lungs. It's not good for your arteries. It's not good for anything. Now, there's other non-modifiable risk factors, you know, which are all related to your age. You know, it is the older you get, of course, the more likelihood that you will have bowel cancer. But it is not only a risk for, you know, not only people over 50 get bowel cancer. You also can get before that. Family history, you know, there's some certain types of, family inherited cancers that can be related to bowel cancer. And they include, you know, fancy names like Lynch syndrome or FAP, which is another type of genetic disease that you can have lots and lots of polyps.
Yeah.
But those are basically not for the general population, not the average person, really, that, you know, the most of the people with bowel cancer get. There's all the non-modifiable risk factors, which include basically the person's risk category, depending on how many close relatives with bowel cancer or your family history. I cannot stress enough to my patients, you need to know about your family history. You need to know your 3 or 4 degrees, who has had colorectal cancer, who has had polyps, because also there has been new research finding that even just having a first degree relative or a first and a second degree relative with polyps, no cancer, can increase the chances of you having polyps and also having cancer. So it's really, really important. Nobody likes to talk about poo, and nobody likes to talk about your bottom or blood in your stools.
Of course,
it's really important to have this conversation.
That's why it's important to do it, yes. And I said that at the outset. It's one of those things we don't talk about enough. What about, regardless of whether it's a family history or your lifestyle, what about eating fiber? So fiber in food or the fiber supplements you can have. How important is that?
Definitely, definitely. There's things that we can do to prevent developing polyps and developing bowel cancer, and those include, as you rightly said, having, you know, or eating whole grains and a naturally high fiber foods. And the research says that at least 90 grams of whole grain and fiber foods per day can decrease your risk by 17%. That is amazing. That's just by having fresh vegetables and fruits, having grains in our diet. And also, if you're having trouble with that because you're not really a vegetable person, you can always also buy supplemental fiber, yeah, like psyllium husks.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So that's really good.
Yeah, okay. No, that's why I was asking about the supplements, because yeah, they do work, don't they?
They do work. And having at least a supplement to your diet is good, better than nothing, that's yeah, for sure.
All right. Then you got the symptoms. You've already alluded to some of them, which we don't like talking about, but it can save your life by noticing them.
They do, and it's a very easy acronym to remember. You know, bowel, each letter it will be regarded as a symptom. So, bowel, the B is for blood in your poo. No blood in your poo is normal. Never. Not if it happens only once every few months, not if it happens every day, not if it is mixed in the stools, not if it is only on wiping. If you have blood, I cannot stress enough, you need to go to your GP specialist, have it assessed, and you will likely need a colonoscopy. It's better to be safe than sorry. The letter O in BO for bowel, obvious change in your bowel habit. And that means, you know, not only one day that you have a food poisoning night because you ate a dodgy kebab, right? It's something that, you know, you have a few days of diarrhea and you don't really understand why,
yep,
or you have more mucus, or suddenly you become constipated for a week and you haven't really changed your diet. Those are things that if they come and they stuck in your routine, they need investigation. Then is the letter W in the word bowel, weight loss that you cannot explain. You have not been on a diet, your appetite is a little bit low, you're losing weight and you think, well, what's going on? That needs to be changed. It might be related to no bowel cancer, but it could be related to something else as well. The letter E in bowel for extreme tiredness. And I'm not talking about, you know, we're all tired. We're all busy. We work long hours. We have families. We have hobbies, etc. But if you are exhausted, you're waking up and you are even after a good night's sleep, you are exhausted. And this becomes a routine for a few days or a week. You might be anemic. You might be losing blood that you're not even be able to see from your bowel. And that needs to be investigated. And lastly, the letter L for a lump or a swelling in your abdomen. And that lump can feel like a fullness or pain in your tummy. And if that's the case, again, please get it checked by your GP specialist.
And we've got the bowel cancer screening program in Australia. People over a certain age get that. It is important, isn't it?
It is very important. And the bowel, you know, National Bowel Cancer Screening, it's important that you understand that this is for no symptoms. For people between 50 and 74, you will get given and sent a kit from the government. Please do it. Only 42% or less than 40% of people actually do it and send it back. It can save your life if we can actually find any positive stool test in that.
And just on that, so you're saying that if you've got no symptoms at all, nothing that you've just described, but you could still, if you did this test, be found to have something in the very early stages, correct?
Correct. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Because the screening program test is a stool test that is made to detect a small amount of blood in your stools that is not visible. It's 20 micrograms, so that's actually not visible. That's only between 50 and 74. But if you have symptoms at any age, you need a colonoscopy.
And that, I know, is a really important message, the colonoscopy. And then we hear of skin cancers, other cancers that spread to other parts of the body. Does that happen with bowel cancer as well?
It can happen at a later stage when the tumours are larger or when they become going to the glands around the actual bowel. It can spread to the lungs and to the liver and to the regional parts of, you know, where the actual tumour is. So, you know, what we want is for that to stop, to not happen, to detect it early, do your screening test, get your colonoscopy. If you have a polyp, we remove them and then we can progress and maintain the management of your polyps through the years so that we can get rid of them and you don't have a cancer.
Look, and as a surgeon, you operate, you deal with this on a daily basis. Am I right that we've made a lot of progress in this area? This is one of the cancers where our treatment of it really has improved enormously.
It has improved, but it depends so much in detecting things early. It's astonishing that only 40% of people actually do the screening. It's astonishing that people feel that having blood in your stools once in a while is because of hemorrhoids, and therefore they don't need a colonoscopy. You know, so there's a lot of education awareness into the community that we need to do to reassure them that, yes, most likely it will be nothing, but it needs to be investigated.
Okay, how often have you had the conversation? I'm sure it's a painful conversation as well, where someone is there and you're saying, well, if you'd come to us a year ago, 18 months ago, things might be a lot different.
Many, many times. The other conversation that we have is that, you know, young people on the 50, they end up having a colonoscopy because they think you have hemorrhoids. We either find a cancer, which is the less likelihood, or we find lots of polyps. And if those polyps would have been there for 10 years, they would have become a cancer.
Yep.
Within those 10 years, they wouldn't even be within the age of screening. So it's so important that any symptom gets investigated.
All right.
It really is. And know your family history.
Okay, I'm really glad we had this conversation. Some of the things we talk about here, and you've acknowledged it, hard to talk about in public and on the radio, but so important because it may jog someone and could save a life.
Well, we all have a bottom, right? Yeah, somebody needs to take care
right.
of it. Everybody does the poo. We need to talk about these things. It's the same as eating. It's the same as sweating. It's just another function.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, look, I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much.